This is going to be kind of a modified Bible study in a way, because we're talking here about the days of unleavened bread and Passover. And I think that maybe you probably have heard this statement many times, that there are more questions raised over Passover than any other feast in the Bible. Everything is questioned. Like when the date is, what do we use? Do we have leavened bread or unleavened bread? How about the drink? What is that? Do we meet on the 14th or on the 15th? At the beginning of the 14th or the end of the 14th? Do we eat leavened bread after we partake of the Passover, or are we supposed to purge out the old leaven? And it goes on and on and on. But I want to have you start here with the book of John. And I want to start there because we're going to do a little study here. And we almost have to understand why we're doing it. But I hope that if you have a pencil or a pen, that what we're talking about here will be helpful to you. And you may want to make some notes and so on. But here in the 18th chapter of John, I want to point out several things. A lot of people will say that Yahshua never partook of the Passover meal at all, that he merely showed his disciples what he was doing, and from that is where we have the Passover that we celebrate now. But you notice here in the book of John, and in verse 28, it says, they led Yahshua up from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now we're in the 18th chapter of John. Notice, if you want to go back in the book of John along with you there, go back to the 13th chapter. In the 13th chapter, we there have the disciples gathered with Yahshua, and chapter 13, that first verse, some people try to make it say what it doesn't say. It really is telling us that it was before the time for Passover. Now here it's called the Feast of the Passover, but actually it was the feast that took place after the Passover, and it got to be called the Passover Feast. Just like today we often talk about, or hear people talk about, the Xmas holidays, the Christmas holidays, and they mean anything from December 24th to January 1st. It's an all-inclusive date. But here we have in this 13th chapter that Yahshua knew that he was about to die. He was about to give up his life as Yahweh had asked him to do. And it says in verse 1 of that chapter that he loved his own unto the very end. And then it says, and supper being ended, and so on. So that here we have Yahshua having eaten something, and it says the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. As you probably know that Judas was paid a certain sum of money to betray Yahshua, because Yahshua didn't really have that long hair we always see when we see a picture of him somewhere, long aquiline nose and kind of a petulant smile on his lips and real effeminate-looking man. In fact, they had to have Judas point out who it was, because he looked like every other Jew. So here he is going to betray him, and he can't wait to get going on it. But in verse 3, it explains why Yahshua was there, and he realized the solemnity of the times, because he knew that he was about to die, and he wouldn't be with his disciples anymore. It says in verse 3 that Yahweh had given all things into his hands, and he came from Yahweh and went back to Yahweh. A lot of people say Yahshua didn't pre-exist, but there's another verse that says he did. He came from Yahweh and he went back to Yahweh. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and so on. Verse 5, he poured water and he washed the disciples' feet, which we all have done here this past week as well. And then in the self-same chapter, he mentions here about Judas in verse 18. And notice that it says that Yahshua is the one who chooses his disciples. A lot of people don't realize that. But it's as if Yahweh gave him a list of names. And he tells Yahshua, pick out the ones you want, the ones that you want to be your bride. And here he says right here that I know whom I have chosen. But he also chose Judas because he needed someone for the scapegoat. And so then we find this is what happens. Well, I want to continue with this. I don't want to take a lot of time with this. But he's already had the meal. We understand that. Now, later on, when you get over to the book of 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, you'll notice there that Paul says we don't have a meal at the time we eat, that you should do that at home. And when you come, we'll have the supper. But notice here that Yahshua is, let's move on down to verse 21. Yahshua was troubled in spirit and testified and said, one of you shall betray me. And the disciples looked at each other and asked, well, who is it? Is it you? Is it me? Who is it? And leaning on Yahshua's bosom, we find that the one that Yahshua loved, which was John, that's what his name means. Yochan means love, beloved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should tell who it was he was talking about. And verse 25 said, who is it? And Yahshua said, it is he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Now what they did, they actually had kind of a sauce made up of raisins, chopped raisins and nuts. And it was kind of a saucer that they dipped the bread in. Sometimes they also had, of course, with the unleavened bread, they had horseradish and leeks and some strong things that they used. But there's a controversy exactly here about this one. I don't know what Bullinger says, but anyway, he dipped the sop and gave it to Judas. And then he said to him, whatever you're going to do, get going. Hurry up, do it. Get it over with. And they thought he meant to go and buy something for the feast. Well, that tells us right there that the disciples did not think that the Passover night was a holy time. Because why would they think he was going out to spend money on the Sabbath, if that's what it was? And they thought, well, maybe he should give something to the poor and so on. Anyway, I just want to establish the fact that they've already partaken of the Passover. Now, in chapter 18, here the Jews are a little bit later. They're actually five chapters later, aren't they? And now they haven't kept the feast or kept the Passover yet. But the question is, did Yahshua partake of the Passover? Let's back up to the book of Matthew. Now that we have established that, looks like he did, but back to the book of Matthew and put in there at the 26th chapter. You'll find here in the book of Matthew in chapter 26 that we begin to get the account here of the time that Yahshua was preparing for the Passover and the disciples came unto him. Now in chapter 26 of Matthew, notice it. Verse 2 says, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. A good Bible, a study Bible, would have the feast in italics. It doesn't belong there. It really should read, now you know that after 2 days is the Passover. That was a couple of days before Passover. And he said, the Son of Man is betrayed to be impaled. Now as we move on down there, we go down to verse the woman there anointed him, you know, with her expensive perfume and everything, verse 10, 11, 12, 13. And move on down to verse 16 here. Judas is now trying to find the place and opportunity to betray Yahshua. In verse 17, again, we have the translation by a group of people who didn't know anything or care anything about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. So they had to translate the verses they had here. And so they added some more words that only confused the issue. Verse 17, it reads in the my Bible, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yahshua, saying to him." Now that's confusing, because it says the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they had not kept the Passover yet. So how can you have the first day of Unleavened Bread when the Passover has not even been observed? But if your Bible has some italicized words in there, you'll understand it was telling about. And that word first day actually is protos. It means before, prior to, or beginning with. So it actually says, now before, and day shouldn't be in there. It's added. Now before the, now feast of should not be in there either. It should read, now before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's what it should read. That's what the Greek text says. English text is kind of goofed up because the people didn't understand what they were writing about. Those that did the transcribing and the translating didn't keep Yahweh's feast days, so they had no experience in the Passover and the ensuing days of unleavened bread. But notice here that it was the beginning of the days of unleavened bread, and the disciples came to him. So it was before or prior to the days of unleavened bread. The disciples came and said, "Master, where do you want that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Is there any doubt in your mind that they expected Yahshua to eat the Passover? It's pretty clear that they expected him to. They asked him, "When do you want us to prepare that you can eat the Passover?" So in verse 17, this is exactly the question they asked. And does he say, "Well, you know, I'm not really going to eat it, but I'm going to show you a new trick here on eating this Passover without the lamb"? Doesn't say that at all. Notice in verse 18, he says, "Go into the city and to such a man and say unto him, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." Does it sound there like he's not going to have the Passover? Or he's just going to be there with his disciples and he's, while they eat the Passover? Is that what it says? Or is he going to keep it with them? I'm pretty sure you'll agree that's what it says, verse 17. So in verse 18, we find they are told to go to the city and keep and get all set up for the Passover. Verse 19, it says, "And the disciples did as Yahshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. What did he sit down for? Well, he's going to eat. That's why. And it says, "And as they did eat, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." Now it says they did eat. It didn't say the disciples only ate. He talks about the ones that were there, Yahshua included. Well, I want you to go over to the book of Mark now, if you will. We're going to just take each one of these evangels and go through them. And then we'll kind of have a harmony here and get all the books to harmonize. Go to the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark, you know, is a very concise writer. He doesn't embellish a lot of words, but what he says is straightforward. And he cuts right down to the nitty-gritty and just tells it like it is. Mark chapter 14. And notice here in verse 12. Again, we have that self-same problem with the words. And here in verse 12, it says, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover." Now, that's ridiculous. Having read that in the Old Testament, you know, that doesn't fit. So what's wrong with this verse? What should it be? Well, again, that word first is in the Greek foremost. It actually in the Greek is protos. Pro meaning before the time. And it should be, "and before," or foremost, or prior to, Now, the word day is hemera in the Greek. It's generally translated day, but not always. Sometimes it's translated time or while. And sometimes, or more often, it is translated day. But it's actually talking about the time of before the days of unleavened bread. That's what it's talking about, before the coming on of the day or the time of unleavened bread. And that was when they killed the Passover. But it's not talking about the days of unleavened bread. It's talking about the general time slot, the while or the time that before unleavened bread. And it says in there, his disciples said unto him, where will you go, or where will you that we go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? So Mark is very clear. He says, where are we going to go and set this up so you can have the Passover? And so we find in verse 13, he sends forth two of his disciples. And he says, go into the city, and there you shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. The reason that was rather unusual, because usually in those days, the women went to the well with their clay pot and carried it on their shoulder and brought water into the house. But here's a man doing it. So he kind of stands out like a sore thumb because he's a little different. He's getting the water and not the women. And then in verse 14, we read, and whosoever shall go in, say you to the good man of the house. The master, talking about himself, says, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? I don't know how people can say that Yahshua did not eat the Passover before he died. As long as he was living, he fulfilled the law up to the limit, anything he could do. Eating the Passover was one of those things. He had to do that as well. Even though he died in the afternoon, but that night before, he did eat the Passover. And we'll find that out in a minute. And in verse 15, it says, he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready the Passover. It's rather interesting. The verse 15, it says, furnished and prepared, yes, make ready the Passover. So now we're already here, and we've seen that the Savior said, make ready the Passover. The disciples asked where they were supposed to go to make ready the Passover. But we haven't looked at Luke, so let's turn over to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22. There in the beginning of the chapter. Let's see. Here we have in Luke 22, we do have an honest report. It says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And by the time that Yahshua was there, the Passover season, the days of unleavened bread included, were known as the Passover, the Feast of the Passover. That here says it's called that. Even though it isn't it, it's still called that, just like we mentioned the Xmas holidays and so on of our culture. Verse 2, the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Yahshua, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. His name probably was Ishkariot. Ish mean man, the man from Kariot. He was being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them, how he can betray Yahshua. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. In other words, he wanted to do it quietly, surreptitiously, where they wouldn't, and nobody would notice what he was doing. Verse 7, then came the day, again, that word is hemera, and it should be, then came the time, the age, then came the period, then came the season of unleavened bread. In other words, the time drew nigh now, the time of unleavened bread was almost upon them, and the first thing they had to do was to have the Passover killed. But it was not during the days of unleavened bread, yet that came after the Passover, didn't it? All right, verse 8. And Yahshua sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us. He didn't say, go and prepare yourselves. He said, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. He included himself. He was going to eat the Passover with them. And then he said, well, now, where do you want us to go that we might prepare this? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall be a man you meet bearing a pitcher of water, which you've already discussed. Follow him into the house where he goes in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master says, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? There's no question in anybody's mind that he intends to eat it. And this is why he asked the question. So then we move on down here to, they went in, verse 13, and found, just like he had said, and they prepared the Passover. They probably had to clean the place out, get rid of all the crumbs, get rid of all the things like that, clean it up, mop it, or whatever they had to do, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, verse 14, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Notice, they're not called disciples anymore. Disciple means learner, a talmid in Hebrew. He's a learner. An apostle is one who is sent with a mission. He has a goal. He has a job to do. He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So right here he says, I desire to eat it. I desire to eat this Passover. I'm looking forward to it. This is the last Passover I'm going to have while I'm here. I won't have it again until I eat it in the kingdom. So with desire, he's desired to eat this Passover. And then in verse 16 he says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of Elohim, kingdom of Yahweh. So notice here, he also took the cup and gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. So you, each of you take some of this, is what he's saying. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Elohim shall come. Notice he talks about the cup, and he also refers to it not as wine, not as oinos or oxos, but he calls it fruit of the vine. Wine, fruit of the vine, is the pure juice of the grape, and wine is actually a byproduct. It's a fermented grape, and he takes the fruit of the vine. Notice in verse 19, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, or likewise after the also the cup after supper, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So he likens the fruit of the vine to be like his blood, an emblem of his blood. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. What does that mean? It means they're sitting at the table eating. And he says, the one who's going to betray me is eating with me. And then he says, truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Been better for him that he had not been born. That's what he's talking about and saying about Judas. Then they began to ask among themselves, well, who is it? Who's he talking about? Is it you? Is it who is it? And then he goes and gives them a little lesson here. He says in verse 25, the kings and the Gentiles exercise lordship over you, or rulership over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But it shall not be so among you, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. And I think that's something we don't always see a lot of, but we should be willing to be servants and do the menial jobs. I never ask anybody to do something that I myself wouldn't do, whether it's cleaning up or no matter what it is. Of course, I'm not a mechanic and can't work in electronics, but anything else. I think we have to be willing to do it. Notice here it says in verse 27, who is greater, he that sits at meat or at eating, or he that serves? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as one that serves. So he himself says that he is a servant of all. You are they which continued with me in my trials, my temptations, my troubles. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Rather interesting, isn't it? Yahshua promises that he is going to serve us someday in the kingdom. And he expects us to be servants of all now. Well, anyway, you find here that they do as Yahshua had asked them, and they go ahead and do get the preparations made for the Passover. In the book of John, I'm just going to read this. We already read it, but in chapter 13 again, I want to just mention, in verse 18 of the 13th chapter of John, Yahshua said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. So there we find again that Yahshua actually talks about the time that Judas is going to betray him, and yet they actually ate and broke bread together. I'm going back to the 26th chapter of Matthew again. I hate to skip around like this, but to show you that the evangelist, not only can you depend upon Matthew to verify the fact that Yahshua was indeed going to keep the Passover, but you can find it in Mark and Luke and John. All four of them mention it. I don't know where these people come from that say that Yahshua did not partake of the Passover. And they'll argue and say, well, he was the Passover lamb himself. How could he partake of the Passover? Well, that's their problem. All I know, the Bible says he did. In Matthew 26, notice here in verse 23 or verse 22, we'll start there. They were exceedingly sorrowful when he told them that somebody's going to betray him. And they began, every one of them, to say, Master, Master, is it I? Am I the one? Am I going to betray you? In verse 23, he answered and said, he that dips his hand with me in the dish. So here again, Matthew makes it a point that Yahshua was eating with Judas. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark, and we'll notice it here again. In Mark chapter 14, and it's a repetition, but again, if we're going to understand something, we need all the witnesses we can get, don't we? Two or three, Yahshua said, and here we have four. In this 14th chapter of Mark, verse 18 says, as they sat and did eat, Yahshua said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eats with me shall betray me. So Yahshua, very clear, he's talking about others eating with him. Verse 19, they began to be sorrowful and say unto him, one by one, who is it? Is it I? Is it I? And they were all asking. He answered in verse 20 and said, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. So Yahshua is very clear about this. And so I think if you remember where all these verses are, that you can pretty well prove that Yahshua indeed ate of the Passover. And he told his disciples to do the same thing, to prepare for the Passover and so on. Now there's another question that arises, and I better back up here a little bit. The next question that comes up, what Yahshua did here with his disciples, did he keep the Passover at the right time? Was it the wrong time? Was this a dry run, kind of an example that he did with his disciples, and that they really were supposed to keep it the next day, like the Jews did? Or is this actually the true Passover? Well, this question comes up from time to time, and I know that might be in the mind of some of the people that might be listening to this or watching it or whatever. But I'll say this, that I've searched the scriptures after each of these evangels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't find any place that the disciples took another Passover. The one they had with the Savior, that was it. And that was the right time. And he did everything right. And he showed the disciples how to take the emblems. And in fact, sometimes the question comes up about the drink. And, I don't think I have it all together here yet, but I want to just point out a couple of things. When Yahshua... Well, let's go over to the book of Matthew again. I think that's where I want to be. Point out a few things here. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, let's see. Well, I guess I don't think it's Matthew. It's actually, I was trying to find it where he says, I'm right, it's here, verse 29. There he says, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Everybody find that? What is interesting, if we can do this, he says, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until I drink that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom. If we can find somewhere in the scriptures where he drank some wine after this, before he died, then we can prove that wine is not the cup, that not what was in the cup. And we can prove it. Later on, he drank some oxos, which is sour wine. Sour wine is a cheap wine, you know. The Roman soldiers drank it. It was cheap. And it was a sour wine. Like, in fact, I think in the scriptures they call it vinegar. And it's actually a cheap wine. I'm sorry I don't have my notes in here. It's in my other Bible, and I thought I had them written down here too, but I don't. But go over to Mark 14. Mark 14, 25. He says the self-same thing. Again, he says, Mark 14, 25, I will drink no more of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink anew in the kingdom of Yahweh. And we can go over to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And we find the self-same thing there. But he finally does drink some oxos. At first he refuses it. But in Luke 22, verse 18, he says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day, or until the kingdom of Yahweh shall come. I don't, like I said, I don't have my notes here, but... let me see here. Luke 23. Anyway, he was offered the drink to drink, and it had actually a drug in it that would deaden the pain. He wouldn't drink it. He refused it twice. But the third time they offered him the oxos, the sour wine, the vinegar, he drank it. But it was, let's see. Rot gut wine, you might call it, vinegar, sour wine. So that actually he drank it. Sorry, I don't have it all prepared. It's in my other Bible. The one I have at home, I don't have it here. But I want to show you something else here now. I want to go over to the book of, here. Are we still in Matthew somewhere? Luke? Okay. over here in Luke, sometimes the question arises about the bread. I think some people think that the bread that they ate, what doesn't say it's unleavened. It doesn't specifically say unleavened bread. And so, let me see here. What is it?
Matthew 27:48.
That's what I'm looking for. Oh yeah, here it is. Matthew 27:48. This is the time that Matthew 27:48. Straight away, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar. If you have a Bible with notes, Bullinger says 48 is the Greek word oxos, O-X-O-S, cheap wine, sour wine. Nobody else wanted it, and they called it vinegar. It was that bad. They put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And at first he refuses it, but finally he does, and then he shortly dies. In fact, in verse 49 and 50, he cried again. He yielded up the spirit and died. Now, the question is, what are you going to say to people who tell you that in the New Testament you don't have to use unleavened bread? You can use leavened bread. In fact, I remember years ago there was a man that... He's in the sacred name of all things. He was going around preaching about the raised loaf that you can have for Passover. And he was teaching that quite a bit. And it disturbed some people. Well, you know, sometimes when you really get concerned, you really start digging and saying, I wonder if this is true. Well, number one, if Passover is based on the Old Testament, and there's no change mentioned, just an assumption that it is the raised loaf, then really don't have any proof, but we can get by just by saying it enough times and people begin to believe it. But if you're going back to the Old Testament where the command is clearly given, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, even if you were not to eat any leaven with the Passover. But let's go back and look at what the Apostle Paul had to tell us and see if he mentions anything. Just because someone refers to bread in the generic sense, just, you know, bread. But during the days of unleavened bread, if we were eating at someone's table, and we wouldn't always say, please pass the unleavened bread. We might just say, pass the bread, please. Anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So that if somebody just calls it bread, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is just regular artos, raised bread, during the days of unleavened bread. Notice here in chapter 5, here we have Paul talking about a meeting of some people that were tolerating sin in the camp, and he scolds them. He said, You don't get rid of the sin, you have to get it out of the camp or it'll contaminate the whole group. Verse 2, he said, you're puffed up about this. He says, in verse 1, it was actually, this fornication was that a son and his mother were having sexual relationships. And this is the thing he's condemning. And he says in verse 2, you're proud of it. You think you're really tolerant. You put up with these things. He said, that's no way to do this. It's a sin. Get it out. Get it out of the camp. And he said, what you want to do is get this one away from you. Get him out of the body of Messiah. And you'll be better off. In verse 3, he talks about, even though I'm not with you, I'm absent in body, but my heart and soul is with you. Nevertheless, no matter how many miles away I am. And then he said, it's just as if I'm present among you that I'm writing you this letter. I feel that close to you. And he says in verse 4, in the name of our Savior and Sovereign, Yahshua Messiah, when you're gathered together, and he said, my spirit is with you, and we have the power of our master Yahshua, his spirit as well, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the master Yahshua. So he tells them to get him out of the place and so on, and let him come to his senses, basically is what he's saying. Notice in verse 6, he says, your glorying is not good. You're proud of this thing you're tolerating and putting up with, but you shouldn't even do it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Then he says in verse 7, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, because Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So he's saying, because Yahshua the Messiah has died for us, therefore, because of that, let us keep the feast. And what does he talk about then? Not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, hatred, that is, or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here Paul is talking about unleavened bread in the New Testament, isn't he? That's what he's talking about. Notice in verse 7, well, sometimes a question comes up, people take Passover at night. Next morning they get up and they have coffee and toast and eat their bread. And I've always said I don't really think you should eat any more leavened stuff after you've had the Passover at that night. It says right here, purge out the old leaven. Get rid of the old leaven. Don't put more in. Get rid of it. Throw it out of your house. Burn it up. Get it out. And you can eat other things besides leavened bread, toast and rolls and cinnamon rolls and this kind of thing after Passover. There are other things you can do. It's only going to be a week long, and you get back and eating all the leavened stuff you want. But I think we should not eat any leavening after we have the Passover. And for 7 more days, we don't eat anything leavened. You have to purge out. That's what he says. Purge it out. Get rid of it. Don't take it back in again. Why should you take the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth and then eat some more leavened stuff the next morning or the next day or the next evening for supper or whatever? Anyway, Paul says that our Passover is sacrificed for us, and that we are not to have that old leaven in verse 8. Let's go over to the 11th chapter here of 1 Corinthians. In this 11th chapter, he again touches upon the days of unleavened bread. The problem here is, and here's the question where this arises, in verse, let's see, he talks about heresies in verse 19, verse 20. He says, you come together in one place, but it's not to eat the Master's Supper. And he talks about that the people are eating up the food before the others can come there, and they end up not having anything to eat and anything to drink. It's all gone, so they don't have anything. And that's not the way believers ought to be. They ought to share the food with others, make sure everyone gets some. So then he says that, verse 22, why don't you eat at home instead of coming together? And so this is what we've been doing. Notice in verse 23, he says, I have received of Yahweh that which I delivered unto you, that the Master Yahshua, that same night which he was betrayed, took bread. Now here the Greek word is artos, and it simply means generic bread. And he broke that and gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And the question arises, of course, what kind of bread is this? Well, being it's in the days of unleavened bread, as we already read in fifth chapter in 1 Corinthians here, that it's the same thing. Verse 25, he talks about the cup. So we know he's talking about the Passover emblems. He says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. A lot of people think this means you do it whenever you want. Every other month, every month, every week, every day, whenever you want, as often as you do it. Well, when you understand he's talking here about the Passover, it's like somebody would say to you, whenever you celebrate Thanksgiving, make sure you have turkey. And there, well, would you have Thanksgiving every day, every month? No, he's talking here about the days of unleavened bread. He's talking here about the Passover. And he says, whenever you do it, whatever year it is, it's in remembrance of Yahshua. Well, there are some other things we ought to be able to look at here in the days of Passover. I don't know if we covered everything here. It's pretty hard to do that. A lot of things we have to keep straight and remember. And like I said, Passover is one time when there is more different ideas floating around. For example, some people have already kept Passover last month. We're going to keep it this month. And basically, we could keep it next month. And I want to have you go over that with me back in Numbers chapter 9. So that you know that there is a reason for this. But the very thing we want to make sure we understand how important Passover is. And I was certainly glad to see that we had five new brethren and a sister baptized in time to partake of the Passover. Notice here in chapter 9, it tells in there in verses 2 and 3, and it says, keep the Passover in its appointed season. So you keep it in the spring of the year, don't we? In the month of green ears, when the barley is just getting heads and the wheat is still growing. And it says, in the month of Abib, the month of green ears, and we keep it in its appointed season according to all the rites, verse 3, and according to all the ceremonies, you shall keep it. And you keep it on the right day. And it says they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month in the wilderness of Sinai according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. That's what they did. But then we have a little problem here. In verse 6 it says there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. Back in those days, you know, they didn't wear gloves. They had no way of moving a dead body. And they had to get it out of the home, probably. So they had to touch the body, and that made them unclean. So the question is, they were unclean, and really they were not qualified to partake of the Passover. So in verse 6, the question comes up, what do we do? They were unclean. They couldn't partake of the Passover that day. In verse 7, those men said, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering to Yahweh in his appointed season among the children of Israel? Now what do we do? We've not been able to keep the Passover. See, Yahweh has told us in a very subtle way, Passover is so important. If you miss it the first month, take it the next month. Be sure you keep Passover. That's where you have to start. Notice how this is shown here. And in fact, in verse 8, Moses didn't know what to say, what to do. So he said, I want to see what Yahweh has to tell us about this. And in verse 9, Yahweh said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, he shall keep the Passover unto Yahweh. So if you're not able to join up with the brethren, you can keep Passover the next month at the same time, but 30 days later. And he goes into it again, and he repeats, the 14th of the second month, at even, between the evenings, between sunset and dark, is when you keep the Passover, and you eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And they shall leave none of it unto the morning, or break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. And so they were to keep it, keep everything on the 14th. None of it was carried over until the 15th. Sometimes you hear people talk about you kill the Passover on the 14th, eat it on the 15th. The Bible never says that. In fact, right here it says you do it all on the 14th. Notice what it says there in verse 3. All the rites of it and all the ceremonies of it you shall keep. And he talks about the 14th. He's still talking about the 14th in verse 5. Nothing is said about the 15th. The 15th is a whole new observance. I wonder if you've ever thought about the Passover, you know, back there with the children of Israel. They were slaves in Egypt, and they'd been slaves for a number of years. And like we were talking about yesterday, slavery didn't come on them all at one time. Slavery was a thing that encroached upon them little by little. Maybe some, and the Egyptians were in control. They were the ones that had the money. They were the ones that had the property. And so there were probably times when an Israelite needed a job. He didn't have anything to, or enough to eat. And so the Egyptians offered him a job. You go over here and help us make some bricks. And so he said, that's a good idea. At first they probably paid him a little bit. But then after a while it got to be a whole horde of Israelites came over and wanted a job too. So they actually took these Israelites and put them to work and gave them just a mere pittance, just enough to get by. That's all they wanted. And they were to build the treasure cities of Egypt, which is what they did. But by that time, Yahweh called Moses to come back and rescue the Israelites from the Egyptians. I don't know if you read anything about Moses and his military prowess, but he was well respected by the Egyptians. He was a great general. He defeated the Egyptians' enemies for them, and he did it in a way that they still don't know how he's able to pull off some of these things. Of course, Yahweh was with him, but he learned all the wisdom from the Egyptians, and the military prowess that he had, Yahweh showed him how to do these things. So when Israel marched out of Egypt, it was like a military army moving. He had them all lined up into squads and everything like that, because that was his background. He knew how to do it, and so he did. But the thing is that when the Israelites were told what they had to do, on the 10th day of the month, they were to take a lamb under a year old. And so on the 10th day, they picked out a lamb. In fact, sometimes, even today, some of the Jews that still sacrifice a lamb, I don't think they do now because there's no temple, they can't sacrifice. But they used to pick it out as soon as it was born. Right after Passover, they'd wait for a lamb to be born, and they'd mark that one. This is our Passover lamb. And what they would do, you know, I'd have it in the house from the 10th day until the 14th, and the little thing was romping around playing with the kids. It got to be a real family pet. And, you know, lambs are cute. You see them running around and jumping up and down and stuff like that. And the kids just love it. Well, can you imagine that night, Passover night, the dad had to go out, kill that lamb, cut its throat, skin it, put it on a spit. And see, they knew this beforehand. They had to get the fire already, even before sunset, get the coals going so they would have a hot fire. And they dug a trench and got it all ready. They had a long pole, ran it through the lamb's mouth and so on. But the problem is, when the kids say, what happened to our lamb? Well, there it is, a blackened piece of charcoal, black and stinking and, you know, sputtering. And they said, eat it. Can you imagine those kids trying to eat that lamb? Imagine they just choked it down. They couldn't eat it. But most people don't realize that. That the days that Israel had spent there actually was a very sad time during Passover time. And it wasn't until the next day when they came up, got out of their houses, took the parts of the land they couldn't eat and burn it, and get all their belongings together and their cattle, and help the old people get ready to march out. And then they went down to Ramses and they gathered down there. And then at night, when the sun had set, why, it was a bright moonlight night, full moon, and that's where they started marching out. All I'm trying to say is Passover and the unleavened bread are two different days entirely. They are not, you don't run them together. They're separate. Passover is a sad time, like a funeral, and the days of unleavened bread are joyful times. That's what the Chag is, a happy, joyful time, dancing and singing praises to Yahweh and thanking Him and so on. And we have 7 days of those. In fact, until Wednesday, we'll have our last great day. And Wednesday would be the time they crossed over the Sea of Reeds and were completely free of Egypt. So the entire account is for us. In fact, a lot of people contend that even today, we're still in the time of unleavened bread. We're still trying to overcome. We're still trying to get the wrong things out of our life. We're trying to dine on the bread of sincerity and truth. And Yahshua said that He is the bread of life in the 6th chapter of John. Well, I hope that this little study has been a help to you, and that you'll understand that Yahshua did indeed keep the Passover, and that He kept it at the right time. He's an example for us, and all the disciples also kept it with Him, and that they learned from Him. And maybe we can learn a little more too. And may Yahweh bless you.